I'm about to record. We're recording now. And now we have to stop shit talking all the people in radio that we shit talk before the show. I mean, we had quite a list this morning, if you think about it. You know, one.
All right. Yeah.
Two, three, four. There was four shit talks.
Mm-hmm.
And it all happened in about like 2 minutes.
Shit talking. That's our shit talky.
Yeah, that's what we should do. When this podcast is over, we should do shit talk with Humble and Fred. All right.
We're pricks.
We really are. So Monday, September 27. We have no Phil today, by the way. He's doing his work at the secret meatball place. And you know who's coming on the show? And it's interesting because I'm looking forward to it. It's the opposite of shit talking. See, we used to have we had a history with this guy, and then we turned it around, and Ron James is back.
Ronnie's written a book now,
yeah.
On top of everything else.
No, and I had a nice conversation with him a while back, and I said, we got to get you on, and I didn't realize that he had already been booked. Mm-hmm. Boone had already booked him to promote this book, booking the book.
What were you talking to him about and asking him how to write a book? Ron, yeah. How do you write a book? Where do you begin? Where do you end?
You know what it was? I sent him a note, and then we had a conversation about would you come on and promote the book? Mm-hmm. And at the time, he wasn't doing a press for it. Yeah,
maybe Humble and Fred should open a promotions company because we seem to promote a lot of people's product. I mean, even outside of our sponsors.
Yes.
How many books will we sell for Ron James?
I don't know. Probably not a lot, you know?
Oh, don't kid yourself.
Don't kid yourself. All right, here we go.
The following episode of the Humble and Fred Show is brought to you by the Chambers Plan, bowdog.eu/sports, the Retirement Sherpa, Doer, who make really, really good pantalon. I mentioned the Chambers Plan, Health Gauge, another sponsor, and as you just mentioned, Ron James is our Gigs Guy guest of the day. Gigs Guy, another fine and long-term sponsor of the Humble and Fred Show.
On Thursday's show, much to our horror, when the show was over, you said, oh, I think we forgot the Sherpa. Horror. And we just want everyone to know that today's special sponsor is the Retirement Sherpa. And we're going to get to his stuff at some point. But just everyone should know he's a super special sponsor today. Because we, we got carried away with the nonsense. And I guess at some point, neither of us reminded or remembered to talk about the Sherpa.
Yeah, talk about the Sherpa. I don't know, when he was on last week, had he already been to a Florida Gator game?
Yeah, two of them.
Or so he had already been to the two of them. Maybe we should have spent a little more time on what that experience was like. Just the mindset of Ontarians in particular, and then going into that situation.
Watching 90,000 people.
Well, this is it. And then, you know, last I heard, COVID was, you know, making a huge comeback in California. But there I am watching the football game yesterday, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Rams, SoFi Stadium in L.A., packed to the rafters, no masks. And they don't even really mention it anymore. It's like it's not even a thing during the broadcast. So it's like they've totally moved on, I guess maybe to their detriment. But anyway, just our mindset here in Ontario, where we seem to be almost overcompensating. What's it like? What was it like walking into a stadium with 90,000 people?
Mm. Well, maybe we'll bring it up again on Wednesday when he's here.
Let's bring her up.
Mm-hmm. You know, the numbers are down in America. At least they were this weekend. 2 days ago, the numbers 53,000 new cases. Yesterday, half of that, 24,000.
Well, I was even reading a report here about Ontario that they're pleased right now. The numbers are below expectations for what they thought they would be late September here in Ontario. So that's good, I guess.
Two days ago in Canada, the entire country, 2,000 cases. Yesterday, I think there was 1,500. 1,478. Less than 1,500 cases all across the country yesterday.
Yeah. So, that's good, I guess. That's good. And Ontario yesterday, I think, was below 700 again and below 600 maybe on Friday or whatever. In and around that area. Let's see what happens. Maybe it'll just peter out.
Have you had to show your vaccine receipt yet?
Yes.
How was the experience? Where was it?
I took Johnny Slapshot to his hockey game on Saturday because his dad was working. So we went in and I had to show first the region of Halton issues a thing. You got to get permission. So then they send you this permission slip, which said I'm permitted to enter the arena. I think because I didn't have the same last name as John. I think for a security reason. Then I went in and I had to show my page that reveals that I've been double vaxxed. And then I had to back it up with my health card, with my picture and my name to verify that the name on the vaccination certificate was right. So it was quite a process. I mean, I say quite a process because I had to show three things, but we moved in and through very quickly. Mm-hmm. It was fine.
Yeah, I've had, I guess, three or four experiences. We were away, Rachel and I, on the weekend. And I will tell you just quickly, we ate in these little restaurants. We were in Port Stanley, which is a lovely little town. And I just wanted to, because you were in a sort of a larger setting. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you felt this, but we felt very, I don't know, very good about the experience. Because we could look around the room and know everyone in that room had been double vaxxed, and that there was, even though you had to still wear your mask walking around the restaurants, there was sort of a sense of, I don't know, safety. I don't want to get like, oh, togetherness, but I felt like there was a feeling like we'd all done our part. We're all grown ups in this room, and yes. I felt pretty good about it.
No, I get it. And, you know, there's no getting around it. It's a pain in the ass. We'd rather not have to do it, but we have to do it to get on the other side of this thing. Of course, that's lost on the imbeciles that, did you see what happened at the Eaton Center on the weekend?
I did not, but I can imagine.
A protest, you know, a couple of people arrested, screaming freedom. You know, these imbeciles who forget that the very fact that they don't have to get the vaccine, the fact that it's not mandated, the actual vaccine, represents a measure of freedom.
Yeah.
Free not to get it. But, it, you know, freedom, freedom, and then, you know, wrestling with police and some guys throwing punches. And where's that, like, where does that come from? Like, you get up in the morning, you get dressed, you head down to the center,
right,
to protest vaccines and masks.
I know.
Like, where does that come from other than mental illness?
I think I asked a similar question of you last week, and I said, where do you get the energy? There's this guy, his name is Daryl Mackey. He ran for the PPC in Oshawa. I've sent him several notes. He accepted my following request on Instagram, and I sent him another note this morning. Mm-hmm. But this nitwit, I don't know if you've seen this, but this will, I don't know if it'll surprise you, but it will, it might. So Daryl Mackey was a candidate for the party, obviously didn't win. He's the guy that had put out the video of him and Tim Hortons. He didn't want to wear a mask. He's part of this lunatic fringe. But here's what he He's calling it his Rosa Parks moment.
No, yeah, I know. You told me that.
So here he is talking about his Rosa Parks moment. Rosa Parks, of course, the black woman who refused to sit on the back of the bus. And here he is comparing himself.
I'm actually going to sit. So I sat. There was no problem. Nobody from the workplace came and talked to me. So I made a little video.
Oh, and by the way, he's wearing a yellow star on his jacket. And if I ever saw him in person, I would rip the fucking thing off myself. Continuing.
Hey, looks like things are cool. They're not going to give me a hard time. And then about 10 minutes later, the two big cop police trucks show up. They come in and say, you're trespassing. You have to leave. And I was surprised by that. I talked to him for about 8 minutes while I was finishing my coffee. As my coffee was done, people were saying, hey, Daryl, don't get arrested. You know, I didn't know what to do. Maybe getting arrested for the cause is the best thing. But I'm like, you know what?
Let me just pause it and ask you.
The cause.
What is the cause?
I don't know.
I wish you could explain it to me. What's the cause? What do you want us to do? Give back our vaccines?
Well, they would have you believe that these restrictions, these requirements will never, ever be lifted. Like, I guess that's the point. This is step one of overall government control. But do you not think the Ontario government, the Canadian government, your local government, do you not think they'll be happy when this is all over as well? And these guys don't have the mental capacity to realize that do this now, a little bit of work and pain now will get us to the other side. How do they miss that?
Well, I don't know, but that's the curiosity to me. I'm going to continue a little bit because at some point, and I'm not sure we'll listen to it long enough, but he brings up what he likes to do in Tim Hortons, which is get there with his buddies and read the Bible.
I'm going to get up, go to the bathroom, and then I'm going to leave. They followed me and said, don't go to the bathroom. I went in, I came out, they arrested me, threw me up against the wall, handcuffed me, and they ended up giving me a trespassing ticket for $50. I said, listen, give me a COVID vaccine passport ticket because that's why I'm here. That's what the violation's for. It isn't such a thing. So they gave me a trespass ticket, even though I was using the facility as intended. I was a paying customer. I was being discriminated.
I mean, that party does have a point, to be honest. Well, he's saying, like, they arrested him for trespassing, which he really wasn't trespassing. He was not. He wasn't. He went into an establishment without his vaccine receipt. But I mean, I hate to say this, but that is a good point. That they had nothing else to arrest him for other than being a dink. but that part about, I guess they should come up with a bylaw or some. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, maybe that falls under trespassing.
I don't know.
That's what this is all about, right?
Here he comes.
So, it's very interesting. So listen, there's a lot of people here that feel the same way. A lot of people across Ontario, whether you've taken the vaccine or not, you know, people aren't okay with this vaccine passport system. Some people are.
Who isn't okay with it? What kind of people aren't okay with the vaccine having to show it? Who the fuck are these people?
And nobody's arguing. It's a pain in the ass. When I went to that hockey rink on Saturday, I'd rather not have to do that. But here I am repeating myself. I know by doing that means that sooner I won't have to do that.
Did you feel a sense of safety in that rink?
Sure. Because I knew everybody else in there had, you know, had a brain in their head. And, you know, I've said this many times, and you have too, over the past few months. I love the way that our society is sort of, for the most part, 98% of our society has sort of decided that we're going to pull together and work through this together. And I think that's a really good statement on, you know, our basic civilization here in Ontario.
Yeah, I agree. That most people, I mean, again, these people would think we're all sheeple.
That blows my mind, but fine. But we're not okay with it. We are being discriminated against and treated differently than other people in society. And listen, I said yesterday was my Rosa Parks moment.
There he is. I said yesterday that it was my Rosa Parks moment. And if I were a black person, because I'll tell you what, as a Jewish person, I'm not down with him wearing that star. But if I was a black person and I heard him say that, again, it's like, how dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you? Daryl. I will say this for him, though. He seems like, because he ran for office, I think we might be able to get him on the show. I think, because he's not Chris Sky crazy. He may have delusions of grandeur or whatever you call that, but I don't sense from him, and I've watched a lot of his video, he's not Chris Sky. Because Chris Sky was out, I guess he was at the Eaton Center this weekend, screaming and...
You know, I really think, to the credit of the media in Ontario and Southern Ontario, that they try not to mention his name.
Chris Sky?
Yeah.
Good.
Because he's, you know, again, he's batshit crazy. The guy is mentally ill, and he's dangerous. So
yeah,
they've decided not to give him any publicity. Because he is. He's nuts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just at the end of this video, so there's a bunch of people listening to him, and one of his followers, a younger woman, comes up to him.
And then we'll leave, and nobody will be hurt.
Okay, so...
Thanks for standing up, man. You're a hero.
Yeah, buddy!
Thanks for standing up, man. You're a hero, she says.
Wouldn't you love to sit down and have a 20-minute conversation with that? Like where her head's at, or what her knowledge is, or where she's getting her information. And
thanks for standing up, man. You're a hero. Yeah, I guess.
And then, you know, even smart, so-called smart people disappoint me. I mentioned last week our buddy Richard Surrett talking, you know, tyranny here in Canada. Look up what tyranny means, and it's an insult to the country. I mean, grow up, number one.
Yeah.
And then that other friend of ours, who apparently is really brilliant, retweets something on his Twitter. It's the Canadian flag with a banana taped to it.
Oh, yeah.
In other words, here's a guy not even from Canada. He's from the United States, that shithole. In other words, Canada's a banana republic.
Yeah, I get it.
So... Like, you know, my biggest problem in life is that it frustrates me when people don't think the way I do.
No, is that?
Yeah.
That's just you, though. No one else feels like that.
Nobody else feels that way.
No, you're different.
But this guy is supposed to be so smart. And yet, based on what's going in Canada, this wonderful, wonderful country we live in, that he chose to make his home a country. I don't know whether it's through this election we've just had or whether it's our COVID restrictions. Now, we're a banana republic. So it's not a little bit of pushback or questioning. We're a banana republic. Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah. And I think about all the people who think that way. And when they see guys like this or Chris Sky, and they go, oh, that's my guy. Mm-hmm. He's speaking for me. Yeah. Thanks, man. You're a hero.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, you were talking about football on the weekend and how it looks like the pandemic is over in America. I didn't get to watch, you know, really any of the Ryder Cup. But what I did see on Friday morning before I left, I was watching with my brother Steve. And, you know, the opening hole, the first tee, they built this sort of mini stadium around it. I don't know if you saw any of the footage of it.
Yeah.
Pretty impressive. Yes. But there's about 10,000 people in this little mini arena.
Yes.
And there's another 30 or 40,000 walking the golf course. The reason I mentioned the numbers is because in a normal, you know, tournament, there's 140 guys, so you can mostly separate those people over the course of the entire area, right? The entire golf course is in play, but when you only have four groups, all those people are following four groups. And of course, there's no masks. There's no masks. No one's sitting anywhere. And I said to Stephen, who is in town working on some television productions, and one of the things Stephen's doing, his main gig, is he's the COVID compliance producer on these shoots.
Mm.
He coordinates, all the rapid testing. Mm-hmm. He makes sure that everybody who comes in and out of the set you know, all that stuff. And I said, look, can you tell me how this would have happened? And he went and looked it up, that in order to get on the grounds, apparently you had to not have been vaccinated, but you had to promise to wear a mask when next to people. No one did. You had to wear masks when going into the concessions. I don't know if they did, but I watched a little bit of the highlights this morning. I saw no one had a mask on anywhere. Mm-hmm. And as you said, they don't even mention it anymore.
Yeah. And, you know, are we going overboard up here? I don't know. But better to, as we've said many times, side with caution. Like tonight, I don't know where the Leafs are, but Saturday night they had an exhibition game against Montreal. So they're allowed half capacity now, which is about 10,000. Tomorrow night, the Jays start the big series with the Yankees. They're allowing 30,000. Now, to me, that doesn't make a lot of sense because, you know, they allowed 15,000 and they were in a few sections with some exits. So I don't understand why they just don't let the place be full, because then you're going to have another 15,000 section with exits and then another 15,000 with exits. You know what I mean? It's like,
not really. Are you talking about at the Dome?
Yeah, at the Dome.
Doesn't everyone have to show a receipt?
Yeah, that's what I'm. Yeah,
they so do. Then why, why not have the entire thing full then?
I don't know. I think there's a lot of pressure to, you know, convey the image that, you know, we're still on top of this and we're still, which is great. But sometimes logistically and just from a common sense standpoint, it just doesn't make sense. You know what I'm saying? So
no, now
that stadium, they allowed 15,000. Well, basically that stadium is three sections of 15,000 because they have about 45,000. And each of those areas has entrances, exits, you know, tunnels. Like, I just don't know why.
No, now I understand what you're saying.
Doing that.
But yeah. That's why I was curious. In order to get in that room, everyone has to be vaccinated.
Mm-hmm. And here's another thing. You know, these guys talk about freedoms and, you know, why was there never any pushback when women had to have their purses looked at before they went in a stadium or within the Scotiabank? You know, any carry bag or whatever you want to call them had to be looked. I don't recall any pushback about freedom.
What about the freedom to smoke a cigarette in Tim's?
Yeah, huh? Like,
you know, I'm just in there smoking my cigarette, reading my Bible with my Jewish star on. Why can't I do that?
Would you really want to have that piece of shit on the show, like with the star? Like, that drives me crazy.
Well, that would be my first question. Why don't you explain to a Jewish guy? We're going to ask you two questions. Yeah. Explain to a Jewish guy why you have a yellow star on your jacket, on your North Face jacket, you piece of shit. And secondly, explain to the black people listening how you're Rosa Parks from Oshawa. okay, listen, before we get, let's just go right to the Sherpa because he deserves it. He's the retirement Sherpa. It's a special Sherpa. Dedicate the show to Sherpa because we missed you on Thursday. What do we know about Tim?
Well, we know that he's a portfolio manager. Raymond James is a member of the Canadian Investors Protection Fund. We know that much. We also know that Tim Niblett is your guy if you're attempting to build wealth. Whether you have an existing portfolio that you want someone to have a second look at, a lot of people have taken advantage of this. You know, you get complacent with this stuff sometimes and you think, wow, maybe a different set of eyes. Well, you know, open a few doors here for me, and people have done that with Tim. And again, no obligation, no strings attached. He'll give you the straight goods, whether you need some help or whether you don't. If you want to build something from scratch too, he's also the guy to talk to. He's the retirement Sherpa. He's Tim Niblett, and we love him. And we really apologize for missing his spot there on Thursday. Retirementsherpa.ca.
Yeah, he'll love this song. We combine fashion with function. That's what Doer does. And by the way, we're very excited to announce that Doer, D-U-E-R, is the official title sponsor of the 10th anniversary broadcast, October 14th at 7 o'clock. Doer's clothes are made to withstand the rigorous demands of the active individual, priding themselves in the unique way they source, weave, and blend essential fibers during the development process of our six proprietary fabrics. And our prototype garments are then worn by a... Do you know what they do? They actually test their pants? Hike, biking, and exploring. Yeah, that's what people
really
do. I don't know if you know about that. I just found out. To make sure these new goods are truly ready for doers, they believe and advocate for a shift in the shopping paradigm and encourage everyone to buy clothing that looks better, does more, and lasts longer. We make clothes for doers, get it? D-O-E-R-S, and that's why the company is called D-U-E-R, as in doer, because we know at Doer that when you're dressed well in ridiculously comfortable clothes, you can get to the important stuff. And the promo code HUMBLEANDFRED, 15 for 15% off your purchase of Doer at D-U-E-R.ca, okay? Yeah, go ahead. I got a couple things I could run by you, but you go ahead.
No, from another sports angle, yeah. Andrew Wiggins, he's a Canadian basketball player, plays for the Golden State Warriors.
Okay.
A great basketball player refuses to get the shot. So the NBA has a list of things that if you qualify for, maybe you don't have to get the shot. But in that jurisdiction there, that part of California, San Francisco, they're pretty strict with what you can and can't do as far as entering buildings and what have you. So Wiggins doesn't want to get the shot. So he tried to get an exemption based on religion.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that's very murky. That's very gray. Like, how do you prove a guy's level of religion? You know, that really is a tough one. Anyway, to the NBA's credit, they rejected it. They said, nope, sorry, not good enough. And I thought it was very ballsy because you know what it's like when it comes to religion. It's like, oh, Jesus, we don't want to go there. But the NBA held their own. And Andrew Wiggins will not be able to play games at the Golden State Warriors home arena.
What happened to that guy in Edmonton that you were telling me about?
Oh, that, what's his name? Josh Archibald? I don't have an update on him. But, you know, the NHL expects like 98-99% vaccine, and I don't know if the remaining 1% are going to be valid reasons, but, you know, it gets to the point where if I'm a player and I've been double vaxxed, I look around and think, well, I got vaxxed, why shouldn't that asshole?
No, exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's not like he's not a big star or anything, is he?
No, yeah. Not at all. Nope.
I want to show you something. I don't know if you've seen it. George Strombolopoulos.
Okay.
I tweeted this and took me a couple of viewings, so I'm going to share my screen with you and everyone else. Can you see this? Let's see. How will I do it? I'll put it over here, Dan Duran would tell me. Okay, can you see that guy right there?
I see liked songs.
Oh, you're seeing that screen.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Okay, can you see my screen now? Hold on.
Now I'm seeing...
I know what you're saying. Hold on.
Well, then why are you asking?
Okay. Now can you see that?
Yes, I...
See a hockey player?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Okay, watch what he does. This is in the... something known as the UHL.
Okay.
Which is a professional hockey... I think it's in Europe somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy must be like the tough guy on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And he had gotten into some kind of scrap with another player who was of color.
Mm-hmm.
Well, watch this gesture. It took me a couple of viewings. Did you see what he did?
Mm-hmm.
What did you?
He peeled a banana and ate it.
Peeled a banana?
Mm-hmm. And he did it so easily, too, as Strombo says. Just as Strombo tweeted, he did this with such ease, and every player near him seemed to let it slide. Now, I don't know about that, because it took me a couple times before I was like, what are you talking about? But you got it right away.
Oh, yeah.
So he's looking at the guy. What do you think of that?
I think the guy should be banned from the league forever.
Yeah, that's what most people are saying.
Really? You know, we've come far enough. You know, stuff like that, gestures like that have been... They were tolerated and then not so much, and then maybe suspensions. But we're to the point now that you do something like that, from all we've learned and all we've accomplished to this point. Not that we've accomplished nearly enough. There's no, like, that's, sorry, pal. Like, there's so much to that. Like, his teammate shouldn't allow him in the dressing room.
Yeah.
Honestly, if he was my teammate when we get back to the dressing room, like, what I would have to say, you know, I couldn't get physical with him because he'd probably beat the shit out of me, but...
Well, you're a lot older than he is, you know. Yeah. You're not on his team. You're like the equipment manager or something.
Like, how do you even want him in a dressing room?
I don't know. I got to be honest with you, though. The reason it took me a couple of times to... And I guess you've seen that before. I didn't know what he was doing. I had to read the comments.
Oh.
Like, I mean, I saw, like... Because at first, you know, I wasn't sure. I mean, I set it up. I'm going to show you something. But I just saw that. I followed George, and I was like, well, what is it? Mm-hmm. And then I realize he's peeling a banana because the guy was black. Who even... I'm going to be perfectly honest. I've never heard of that before. Didn't know that was a gesture. Didn't... Mm-hmm. You know, maybe I missed that day in school.
And again, loosely here, because it was a few years ago, Wayne Simmonds, who now plays for the Toronto Maple Leafs, there was an exhibition game when he was with the Flyers in Ontario, actually, although I do believe it turned out to be an American who was at the game, threw a banana on the ice at him.
Yeah. Yeah,
Remember that?
I've heard that. Yeah, mm-hmm. I know. But that's such an overt and horrific gesture. But this thing with the peeling the banana... You know what you need after that, though? You know what we all can use after that video?
What's that?
A little palate cleanser, okay? So now I'm going to share my screen again with you. Can you see this video there of the bear?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to speed it along because it's about a minute. So this is a bear who gets... He's pulling on some cable on this fence.
Yeah.
And he tugs on it, and he tugs on it, and then he... pulls it, and then the cable whips down and hits him in the nuts. Duh.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And I want you to see how the bear reacts after getting hit in the nuts. It's the greatest. Hold on. All right. Hold on. Okay, Dan. Okay, so the bear, you see him struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's pulling on the fence.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to let it... Because you really need to see him. He's really yanking on it. And he's got something in his mouth. Oh, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
And he whips it. He pulls it. Bang! Watch. What? Fuck, he's down. Hey, look at him. He's rolling around. Because he's just nutted himself.
We all know how that feels.
Oh, no. But I love... This is my favorite part. It happens. Mm-hmm. Okay. See how it happens? Mm-hmm. And then he tries to... At first, he's like, oh. He's like, no big deal. I'll walk it off. No. He goes down. And then he starts rolling around in bear nut agony.
Mm-hmm.
How good is that? I love that. Okay, here's another little palate cleanser for you. I'm just going to keep the screen going here. Keith Weilen, who has been, over the 10 years, contributing a lot of music to the show. Do you know, I guess Will Smith, he's got two children. One is a boy. I can't remember his name. Jaden or something like that?
Yeah.
This is his daughter, Willow. Check out this little tune. That's not her. Here, this is someone I think named Tyler Cole, who's doing this duet. There's Willow. This is Will Smith's daughter.
When I wake up, I can't even stay up. I slept through the day. I'm not getting younger, but when I'm older, I'll be so much stronger. I'll stay up for longer. Meet me at a spot. Cut a vibe. Baby, are you coming for the ride? I just wanna look into your eyes.
Pretty good, huh? You know, it's interesting. I watched this morning, and when you get a chance to see it on your own, her face looks so much like her and him, Jada Pinkett or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's gorgeous, but very talented. It was National Daughter's Day a couple days ago, and you were with your daughter, who Melanie. Is she okay if we mention how old she turned?
Sure, you can't change it.
No, maybe I'm asking if she's okay.
I think so. I don't think that, that the fact that she's 39 years old is meant to be any great secret.
How does that make you feel, Gramps?
It's just, I don't know, you just sit back and think about how fast or quickly time goes. It's, you know, that's again one of those benchmarks. Remember the night she was born, and that's almost 40 years ago. Next year is going to be a bit weird, I guess, when I realize I have a kid 40 years old.
Yeah.
Because you look back and like, what did I think when she was 30 and when she was 20 and when she was 10? And it just whips by so quickly.
And I thought of that when I asked you that question, mm-hmm. because it's different. Because when my daughters turned 20, mm-hmm. I was in my early 50s. Now, you're older than me, and so is Mel older than my kids. But when she turned 30, you were still thought of yourself as a, you know, early 50s guy, mid 50s guy.
Yeah.
It's not just that she's going to turn 40, but it's also, well, how old does that make you?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is as dirt, old as dirt.
Well, I often, over the past couple of months, it didn't bother me turning 65. It was like, wow, I'm 65. I'll be able to get more discounts at stores and collect CPP.
Yeah.
But every so often, I have noticed that over the past few weeks, last couple of months since I turned 65, every so often I give my head a shake and go, wow, I'm 65. Because when I was a kid, 65 was pretty old.
Yeah.
You know, my grandfathers, you know, one died at 67 and then the other one died at 73. And, you know, I've had some friends whose fathers have died in their mid-60s. And
yeah.
It's like, wow, I don't feel 65. I don't think I think like 65, but I'm 65.
Well,
and 65 in our society is a pretty significant number.
You know, all my grandparents, with the exception of my father's mother, who I think was late 80s, might have even gotten to 90. But to your point, when I was a boy in the 60s, those other grandparents were mid-60s to late 60s, and I don't think any of them got much past 70. In 1960, the life expectancy in Canada was what? What do you think it was?
Late 60s?
71.1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
71, and we grew up in the last 50 or 60 years in a world where life expectancy was mm-hmm. over 80, mm-hmm. or around 80 for men, 82 for women.
Yeah.
But when we were kids, a 65-year-old, a 61-year-old, you were done, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That was an old person.
You know, here's the way I think sometimes, like, we're not going to get another dog. And part of the reason we're not going to get another dog, I'm 65. If the dog lived to be 13 or 14 or 15, I'd be 80 when I still had the dog. Do I really want a dog at that age? And again, that's a, you can't answer that question, but do I, for the next 15 years, do I want to deal with that? And physically, will I be able to? Well, then the odd time Delise and I look at country properties north of here. Hey, if we'll be leave Brampton, let's maybe get a little piece of property and enjoy that. But then I'm thinking, boy, I'm 65. Anything I look at, I really have to think about what I will be able to handle going forward. You know, when you're 25, 30, that doesn't even enter your mind. It's like, there's a lot of grass to cut and I'll have to do this, do that. It doesn't, you don't even think about it. But now that's part of my world. It's like, wow, I really have to think about how much I can handle going forward, because I feel great at 65, but there's no guarantee at 70, 71, 75 that I'm going to be in a position. And then you don't want that responsibility to fall off onto your kids. Another thing, I love opening and closing my pool. I closed it yesterday, but I can feel it every year. It gets a little harder.
Hey, man.
Not that I can't do it.
No, I get it.
A little bit harder to do it.
You know, I can relate to that. I had a pretty visceral demonstration of my age over the weekend. And without getting into the details of it too much, because I know when I talk golf sometimes, or, you know, whether it's to Rachel or the audience, I know a lot of it's kind of like, what? Don't give me too much detail. But I'll just give you some perspective. The courses I normally play, you know, I play somewhere between 64 and 6,600 yards, but mostly in the 64. For senior tournaments, it's always under 6,500. I played a golf course on the weekend that was PGA Tour length, 7,000 plus yards. Plus on Saturday, you know, it was wet and raining. And so what that does is it just makes the golf course longer. And I'm playing with kids, you know, and you know, I had a decent round on Saturday, but it was a bit of a stretch for me. I had to play very, very well to shoot a not a very good score for me. But I really enjoyed it, you know, because I was playing well and I was sort of, you know, there's one hole where there was three groups on the tee going in two different directions. And I got up on a par three that was 230 yards. Just let that sink in for a second. It's 230 yards, and I tee off, and everyone's watching me. And honestly, I'm older than anybody on that tee. You could take two people and combine, and they're still younger than me. And I hit the green, and I turned around, and I said, well, what do you think old grandpa did there, buddy? You know, kind of thing. And, but I will tell you, yesterday, it was too much for me. And I was sort of thinking on the way home, you know, I don't know if I want to keep doing that. I really love this place I went to, and I've been going there, honestly, Freddie, off and on for 20 years, and I thought, you know, that might be my last year.
Just what, because, do you mean keep doing what? That particular tournament?
That particular tournament. Oh, okay. No, tournaments are great, but I don't know that I want to do it against the at that. You know, I love playing against that age group, but it's a bit much for me. At 7,000, and I was thinking on the way home, you know, Rachel's driving, and I was kind of dozing off. And I enjoyed the weekend. She and I had a great time. And then we really liked going, and we went to Port Stanley, as I mentioned. It was great. But, you know, I was kind of thinking maybe that'll be it for me in that tournament. And again, because there's no senior division, you know, and you qualify by your handicap. And my handicap is so low, sorry to brag, but it is, that there's no other division for me to be in. And, like, it just was a lot. I enjoyed it, but it was frustrating yesterday, you know? It's,
no, I get it.
And it, you know, it's all part of the... And I like playing against guys my own age, you know? It's fun playing against guys younger, too, but there's a reason that, you know, when you watch a 31-year-old hit a golf ball, as good as I can hit it, it's nothing like they hit it. You know, it would be like, I don't know when's the last time you've been on ice, but imagine being on the ice at your age with a 27-year-old that can skate really fast.
To be honest, I wouldn't do... I'm not sure I would even go pleasure skating. I'd be so afraid of falling.
No.
I'm serious. No. The payoff would not be there for
But don't
me.
You skate the odd time with Johnny Skate Shots or Slap Shots?
No, I... Well, yeah, but the little backyard rink, and I just sort of stand in position. And sometimes with my boots on. But... You know, I moved into this house when I was 39. and where the pool pump is, it's sort of under the back deck. And it's, and that's sort of a benchmark for me. Every year when I'm closing an opening, going in under that deck and bending over to get in there, it's just like, now it's like,
yeah, I know.
For so many years, I just went in under there, never thought anything of it. Now, as I approach it, I think, oh, Jesus, here we go.
Well, you know, it's interesting you said that you moved into that house at 39. That's not where you were living, though, when I met you. And your daughter, who just turned 39, I forgot to mention this, the summer I came here and started working with you, I think it might have been our first time at your home, was for Melanie's 7th birthday.
Yeah.
I was going to write her a little note today. I just said happy birthday to her. But, you know, I don't know. I was going to say, oh, I remember when you were 7. But I'm sure she doesn't, you know, need to hear that. But, yeah, anyway, I thought of that on the way home yesterday that... And I had a great time. Like I said, it wasn't like didn't get mad yesterday, but I, you know, shooting the score I shot wasn't much fun. And a lot of it is just the length of the golf course kind of caught up to me yesterday. I didn't play all that well. The day before I did, and I just barely eked out a score, whereas yesterday it just all kind of crumbled, and it was very difficult. Plus, it was really windy yesterday, and it became just too much for me.
You know, and that's interesting. You're talking the average course you play is 6,600 yards, you said?
Yeah.
And just an extra 400 or 500 yards makes all the difference.
Well,
interesting.
It makes a difference because, like, you play enough golf. You know, the courses you play, the par fours are probably 360, 370 yards. And so a 6,500-yard course, the par fours would be typically around 400. But at 700 yards, 7,000 yards, there was a par four that was 470 yards. Well, think about that. I mean, I hit a good drive, and it might bounce out there, and it's 270. But now I've got 200 yards left.
Yeah.
Whereas on a typical par four that I would play and hit at 270, I'd have 130 yards in. So it's a difference between hitting a, again, not to be too geeky golfers, the difference between hitting a 9-iron for my second shot and a hybrid or a 4-iron. Like I said, it was fun, but I just remember thinking on the way home, that might be the end. And I've been going to this place in St. Thomas since I've known you, off and on since the 1990s. I've been playing in this tournament.
Wow.
Hey, listen, we're waiting for Ron James, and while we are, go ahead.
Well, one other point I was going to make, you talk about getting on the ice with Johnny Slapshot.
Yes.
It's very tempting. So I take him to his game on Saturday, and he gets a breakaway, and he hits the post. And then, you know, we're telling him all the time, you know, go where the puck isn't, if somebody else has it, that whole concept. So he's at about 10 feet in front of the net, the puck comes out, and he shoots it, and he scores. And then in his backyard, he's always working on his backhand. He seems to be obsessed with backhands. He thinks they're really neat. So later in the game, he's got the puck behind the net. He wheels around in front and backhands it into the goal. So he scored a couple of goals. So, you know, as a grandfather, it's like, wow, this is pretty cool when the kid that I brought's doing so well. But it's funny, little things in his game, like as far as carrying the puck and maybe shooting it off the boards to get by a kid. And these are all the things I'm thinking, man, maybe I should get on the ice with him and just show him a couple of little tricks, because grandpa could put the biscuit in the basket in his day as well.
He dipsy doodled.
And I'm thinking, yeah, maybe I should do, you know, and then I'm thinking, oh, but what if I'm doing that and I fall and break my hip? That's the dilemma I'm in.
You know, all last winter I had my skates in the car because Rachel moved into this place that is near an outdoor rink. And I said, I'm going to bring my skates over and go for a little skitty skatey around. But I didn't, for the same reason. I'm like, I don't, what if I hurt myself and it wrecks my golf game? By the way, somebody just texted me and said, let Fred know he's 14 years older than Wilford Brimley was when he filmed Cocoon.
Well,
I'm 10 years older. I'll tell you what I do know. We're waiting for our Gig Sky guest of the day. I'll tell you about what's going on with Gig Sky in a second. Mike Boone just texted me. He has texted Ron James, reminding him that he's got to come on here so we can talk about his book. In the meantime,
do one of your thing. Yeah.
Pardon me?
Do whatever you like to do there, my friend.
All right. Well, how about Bodog? Whether you're a sports bettor, a horse racing fan, a poker or casino player, Bodog is your number one source of online gambling entertainment. From their industry-leading odds, world-class sports book, and feature-rich poker room, to their fully loaded casino and race book, they've been providing Canadian players with an unparalleled gaming experience since 1994. Now, we encourage you to go to bodog.eu/sports, where you can wager on all your favorite sports, you know, the big four in particular, although there's golf and all the other individual sports as well. Let's look here tonight. Oh, look at Dallas. A 3.5 pick to win the Monday Nighter. All right? And tomorrow we'll be providing the odds on the Blue Jays. Big series against the New York Yankees. The three-game series, which could make or break them making the postseason. Bodog.eu/sports.
Well, as we've been telling you the last little while, the Gig Sky's latest service offering. I'm going to start that sentence again. As we've been telling you lately, Gig Sky's latest service offering includes mobile data while flying. Mobile data while flying. When traveling on selected airlines and routes, you can get mobile data. Go to gigsky.com/aero, A-E-R-O, mobile. That's gigsky.com/aero mobile to see the list of partner airlines. You know, people are flying around again. I saw some friends of Rachel's, and now mine, got on an airplane and flew to the UK. You can do that and take Gig Sky with you. Don't forget to get your Gig Sky data plans for your travel needs, whether you're heading to Europe or the tropics, or just want to, you know, make your way down south. You need mobile data to keep you connected in 190 countries worldwide. Download the Gig Sky app today and enter code HF2021 for $5 off your first plan. Or visit gigsky.com for more information. Funny how age is kind of the theme right now. I mentioned to you before the show that Randy Bachman of Bachman Turner Overdrive, and of course the Guess Who, is turning 78. And I believe you said, is he still taking care of the business? Yeah.
No, I said he's responsible taking care of business. One of my least favorite songs ever.
Yeah.
I can't, you know, one of those things. I can't argue with the success. I can't argue with the popularity. But just one of those songs, when I hear it, it's like, oh, kill me. That's all.
Oh, do you? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Me? So that's your, like, oh, hang on a second. Hang on. So you're saying when you hear this, you would choose death over this song. You know, I agree. It's not my favorite song, but I think almost everybody who's listening now knows almost all the words.
Yeah.
Come on. Because you get up every morning to the alarm clock's warning, take the 8:15 into the city.
Yeah, I don't know. It's, I don't know. Never liked it.
No. You know, there's a Randy Bachman song that I do really like. And again, it's kind of like that Rick Emmett Suitcase Blues. Not really a triumph kind of song. But Randy Bachman has this song. I don't know why I keep saying Bachman. Is it Bachman? Yeah, it's Bachman.
It's Bachman, yes.
Okay.
And don't get me wrong, I love Guess Who.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm not getting you wrong.
And that's not a Guess Who song, is it?
No, it's a Bachman Turner Overdrive. BTO.
Right.
Do you know this song?
Great song.
It is a great song, and it's so weird because it's the same guy that did Taking Care of Business. Mm-hmm. And but it, this is kind of a little Guess Who-y vibe, you know? Oh, here we go. Ronnie J. Bom, bom. He's a little late, but better late than never. And well, that was because we have somebody at 8:45, so we will. We'll just have to. It's all right. It's fine. It's fine.
Hello, Ronald.
Ronald.
Oh, really? Yes. How are you?
I know. Boy. Listen, man. You forgot. We don't care. We're old now.
I didn't forget. It's Monday. I slept longer than I should have, and I put my alarm on for 7 so I could get up and row before this interview so I could look perfect.
Did you ever think you'd say that? Oh, I want to get up in the morning and do some rowing before I talk to Humble and Fred. God.
I just wanted to have the endorphins, buzzing. And instead, it was a little beep from my phone that said, you're on Humble and Howard. And I thought, oh, boy, that's going to endear me forever.
No, you know what? I was trying to remember. I reached out to you a couple months ago when I saw that you had the book, and then we were on a phone call, and you said, oh, I'm coming on in the fall. It's all been arranged, and I was excited. Let's just get right to it. You've been doing this for so long. Did you approach the publisher, or did they approach you and say, hey, Ronnie, why don't you put a little book together for us?
Several years ago, they approached me when I was still in the middle of the series, and you're strapped to a rocket trying to spin plates. It's a 24/7 gig, and I didn't realize how many plates would be spinning at once when I was involved with that. And I'm not a great multitasker, so I thought, well, there'll come a time when I'll be able to address it properly. And so I started the first draft, I guess, about 3 years ago, and then when COVID hit. I just knuckled down and hit every deadline that they'd set up for me. And then it was supposed to be released a year ago, October, and they delayed it. And I was really glad they delayed it because I got a second copy edit. And I had, besides their own copy editor, I had my 32-year-old daughter, who's got her honors in English and a master's, take what I called a millennial sensitivity pass.
That's interesting. And, I've got one of those.
I'm telling you, buddy, it saved me a lot of grief. She said, Dad, I would just say things like, there were these barbers on our street who gave you a haircut when I was 11, and they wielded their tools like an Apache with a grudge.
Right now.
I thought, oh, wow, yeah, that's, I used to say it in my act, right? And, Lester and Earl were like an Apache with a grudge with that buzz knife. You can't. So it was just little things like that, little things that would have red flagged. And because it is about language, and it should be about language, and I love language. And so as much as woke culture gets critiqued by the boomers because we're out of our depth, it doesn't hurt anybody to become more aware tomorrow than they are today. So
yeah, for sure.
It was very important. And it made the book better, as did their copy edit and the extra year that I had, because so much happened in the year of COVID. And there were so many tectonic shifts in the psychic paradigm.
Right.
That, you guys must have noted it. The ground was like flying beneath your feet every day.
Yeah, that example you use, our generation sort of caught in the middle. I remember as a kid playing Cowboys and Indians, well, you wouldn't even do that now. And that reference you make, it's not done with any malice. It's just done, it comes from your era. And then you hit on it perfectly. It's not like we shouldn't push back. We should evolve and understand that that's a mistake. But I didn't say it with any malice. I didn't say it to be mean. I just said it because of where I've come from and my age.
Yeah, and before you answer, because we're all of a certain era, malintent, no malintent isn't an excuse. It's an explanation.
Yes, I get it.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So there was that. And there were there was nuance that I was able to play with, but I was able to put a microscope on some sentences. I mean, some things got lost, and there was no intent to be malicious, as you say, in the book in the least. I wanted it to embrace the virtues of people and place and the window on other worlds that the road had given me.
By the way, this all happened so quickly that I didn't get a chance to say that the name of the book is called All Over the Map, Rambles and Ruminations from the Canadian Road, is now available tomorrow. And we're with Ron James, in case you don't recognize him, because he hasn't had a chance to row yet today. So, a lot of people don't know. Is that Ron James? Because he hasn't rowed yet. But I do want to ask you a couple of questions about, like, so really, what's the book is about you going across the country in a unique position. Many people, thousands of people in each town coming out to see you. Mm-hmm. Is this... I don't want to say the word regurgitate. Is this something from your act, or is this completely different?
There's a certain percentage, a very, very small percentage from some of my specials. But it's also the past and the present. I mean, it's a series of short stories that connect my sense of place in the world, whether it's an uncle who... fought his addiction to the mat after being on the streets of Toronto for 2 years, a sharp-tongued Cape Bretoner. It's an homage to the people and place that I'm from in a world that was. It's memories of camping with family when I was a kid, when I saw Americans for the first time. Some people may remember that classic bit of "Don't touch the canvas on the tent when it's raining" from mm-hmm. one of my acts, but it's not a series of jokes. Mm-hmm. It's held together by what I call a narrative of the heartline hum. It's held together by this soul note that I heard singing in my travels. People would come up and talk to me, and it was long before I had, I suppose, the notoriety that comes with television. They would they'd recognize my voice from the radio or maybe from a JFL set or something, and they just sit down and talk. And I just think they wanted their lives to matter, you know, whether it was an Indigenous kid at a Safeway Starbucks in Prince Albert, an elderly waitress at the Delta Hotel in downtown Calgary, an oil worker at a Starbucks in Grand Prairie, or a beat up old 75-year-old hockey player at a food court in St. John. And after a while, I began to think that they were apparitions who would just sneak through this rip in the metaphysical curtain, sit down beside me, start talking, and then go back to wherever they came from. Mm-hmm. I knew then, guys, that there was something going on out there that was bigger than the gig I was going for. Mm-hmm. It was a soul currency that the road gave me. And I was a pretty diligent journal writer in those days before I was face first in Instagram, taking pictures of the French fries on my plate in restaurants. You know, some innocuous detail that, oh, look at this beautiful corner of the
highway. That's right.
So
yeah, we all went through the, hey, look what I'm eating phase.
It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. It's like, why is somebody in Salmon, RBC excited about the tomatoes I'm growing on my garden in Toronto? But I guess the dopamine hit you get from it makes you think you should be. Anyway, so that's what holds the narrative together.
Okay.
It's a travelogue through time and place with stops in the past and the present. And the book, really, I dedicate the book as well to family, but June, Kaylee, and Gracie. But it's also the book also belongs to the people who spoke to me and right. those people that I met in my travels.
Okay. Howard and I, sort of a sub theme of the show today, it became age, you know, how quickly time goes by and realizing how old we are all of a sudden. Could you have written this book 10 years ago, or was it a timing thing? Like, I have enough now. I have enough to reference. I'm in a position now that I want to do this before I die. Because listen, writing a book in Canada, it's got to involve a lot of passion, because it's not necessarily lucrative unless a lot of, a lot of good things happen at once.
Well, there's room in the storage space beside the DVDs if the books don't sell, too.
Right. That's right.
But I've got, that is an excellent question. And I think, mortality is no longer another man's worry, is it, boys?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I know.
It's no longer that visitor in the night that takes an aunt or an uncle or a neighbor. We've seen it. We've stood more often than we'd like to at funerals of friends.
Mm-hmm.
And the shadow of the plague that's hung all over us has certainly made us take stock of what matters. And I don't think I could have written this book 10 years ago. I wasn't ready to. Mm-hmm. And that's where I got to tip my hat to the publishers, and my editor. They were very patient. They said, look, you'll write the book. We've got the contract. Well, you'll write the book when you're ready to write the book.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat down and, with the ADHD I wrestle with, it's not a, it's a chore to sit at the table.
It's funny you bring that up, because I wanted to ask you a question. I had an occasion recently to hang out with a Canadian author who's done very, very well. His name is Andrew Piper. He's written a bunch of novels. And I was asking him about his process, about how many words, because I often, if Freddie and I both have entertained ideas of maybe putting something together, but it's what you just said. It's the way our brains think, it's very scattered. I asked him, what is your process in terms of word count every day? Or did you give yourself a task? I know you do your rowing, but then were you going to... Easy. I keep calling it back.
All right. Please do. But tag away.
But I know you do that. Did you say, okay, I'm going to do 500 words by lunch, or 1,000 words today? Or did you give yourself personal deadlines?
Well, there was the publisher's deadlines and then my own personal deadlines. But I remember reading once where Jack London did 1,000 words a day regardless. Was it either 1,000 or 10? I think it was 1,000 words a day. So you have to feel like you've put some substantial time in front of the computer. I mean, I always wanted to go away with a chunk that fit the chunk I had yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I also wanted to end in a place that wasn't just an amorphous thought. I wanted it to land in a substantial grounding place where I could go, okay, tomorrow I'm going to move from there.
Right. You're moving the narrative along.
Yeah. And I stayed with each story. I didn't dabble around with, I had my box of moleskins too, right? From when I was on the road, I would didn't have the rower. I was running then, so I would run, okay. And then I'd come back, and that's what the day would be. The day would be cracking the papers and seeing what's going on for the evening show, what I could do, right? And then there was a different vibe when I'd go to the coffee shop in the afternoon and just start writing, and people just would talk. And it was a gift. It was the hidden boon that Joseph Campbell talks about when you follow your bliss.
Yeah.
That doesn't come without a price.
Good timing for you, too, because as a stand-up, primarily, you got to feel like you've lost a couple of years. Like, Howard and I have been lucky because we got to do this through the pandemic. But there's a lot of people, entertainers, that have literally lost 2 years. And,
And a lot of guys that couldn't afford to lose 2 years.
Oh, that's Howard, right. This is it.
That's sort of filled in that hole for you on some level, I imagine.
It sure did. And, you guys were kind enough to bring me on when we were doing the streaming shows from the living room here, too. And but there's a trepidation in going back, and I've talked to some fellow comedians, and they go, well, we don't know what people are ready to laugh at anymore because mm-hmm. the sensitivities and a hypersensitivity around issues. You know, I had a corporate gig for first one in a long time, too. It was virtual. It was for Home Depot. Mm-hmm. And at the last minute, they say, oh, don't say anything about Trump or Georgia. And I thought, what? Right? Mm-hmm. So I thought, all right, no Trump or Georgia. And I vet it. I vet this with the client. I vet my set. Mm. And because, I mean, the rollout of the vaccines was atrocious in Ontario. We were looking at 15,000 cases a day. Thankfully, Big Daddy Doug got his shit together and it didn't go south like it's doing in Alberta. Mm-hmm. But we're satirists. We look at issues that are occurring and we comment on them. Mm-hmm. It's the way it is. But, you know, as you guys know, the corporate gig has a different...
Oh, absolutely.
And what was my joke? I said, boy, the vaccine rollout's gone south, hasn't it? I think Doug Ford had a better grasp of supply and demand when he was selling hash from the Cadillac. Boom. The phones go off. And then I said, I just had a throwaway. I said, you got to tip your hat to the Atlantic bubble. They shut the borders down faster than a Wuhan rub and tug. Bing, 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 bing.
Oh, that's great.
And boom, game over.
I want to talk to you because we've got an, as I said, I've already told our next guest to stand by for a couple extra minutes. I want to talk about quickly two things. One is, you know, I grew up in Moose Jaw. I barely got through grade 12, but my dad, Lou, was a big reader. And so I sort of inherited the love of reading and language from my father. And, you know, Fred will often kid me because, you know, I'll throw in a word or a reference, not to your level, but I love language that way. And I love, you know, saying you're a voracious reader other than you're an avid reader. I just enjoy that, the way that feels in my mouth. What about you? Where did it come from? Was it your father or mother? Just you picked up language along the way?
I just picked up language along the way. Dad was a reader, but not to the extent where, I mean, he'd ever be dropping, ever dropping big words at the table. I just evolved into it because I was always a reader more than I was a watcher. Mm-hmm. And I love the way that words rolled off the tongue and tickled the ear as well as the funny bone. Mm-hmm. And it's a flavor that you have to be judicious with in stand-up, because stand-up by its nature, to quote Carlin, is the vulgar art. And I don't think that he meant it was populist of the people before the phrase populist took that toxic connotation.
But Ron, if I can jump back in quickly, I want to jump in quickly and say that's the reason I ask about your language is because as stand-ups, the idea is to make it as clearly understandable.
Yes.
So that when you're because when Freddie and I were talking about this, happened to be earlier before the show, about the idea that there's a mechanics to stand up. And I said to Fred, I said, you're one of the few radio guys, and I said it this morning, that I've ever worked or known that has an instinct for how stand up and funny is done. Most radio guys don't. That's why they're not funny. But in stand up, the premise, the setup and the punchline, there's a math to it. And I often had wondered about you that sometimes, because your language is so dense, that did you ever worry, like, am I losing them along the way here? Because part of the problem is when you said, I think you said a word amorphous earlier in the conversation. Yeah. And while you were saying that, I'm like, okay, I have to remember what that means. And in stand-up, we are in danger of losing them while they're trying to think, what is he talking about? Did that mm-hmm. ever come up with you? I know that was a long... winded question, but I am curious about
when
that.
When I was starting, my words would tumble over each other, you know, and when I was a kid, I couldn't get the words. I stuttered something terrible, right, when I was a kid. And I remember going to speech therapists and things like that, and when I was little, and they'd say to my folks, these thoughts are in his head, and they can't get out fast enough. That's why he's stuttering. And but it was an evolution of comfort on the stage to know where to place these long alliterative and verbal runs, because it's a flavor that can get redundant in a hurry, okay? But I will tell you, A long time ago, when I just started watching stand-up before I committed to it, there were two people whose work made a real impression on me on the HBO specials. The first one was Billy Connolly, of course, and his just his puerile, childlike, unmedicated joy at performance. His, like, damn the torpedoes, I'm flying. And I just, it was an epiphany, because he was talking about his fractured tribe, the Celtic tribe. That's my people, you know? And the second person, his first HBO special, I thought was incredible. Dennis Miller.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved how Dennis Miller embraced language. And he was the first comedian I watched who wasn't afraid to be articulate. And he was angry, too. And before he became so stridently right-wing, which Canadians don't have the luxury to pick a side. We have to be equal opportunity offenders when it comes to political satire, because there's only 37 million of us. The States has 375 million. You can have one side of that country hating your guts and still have six times the population of Canada digging your act. But it was Miller. And I remember him saying once, if you don't know the words I'm saying, just pick up a dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's just, if you can liken us to painters, I think it's a paint color that, if used judiciously, elevates the content. But you're absolutely right, too. It still has to land in the lap, and it still has to be understood.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can't lose the room. You can't talk above the room.
Sort of on the flip side of what Howard said, but it sort of works to your advantage. When you, I guess if we looked at Ron James 15, 20 years ago, whenever it was you started up, you slowly brought that in to your act, because when you would deliver those things, you're thinking, boy, that got good reaction. I need more of that. And then it becomes Ron James.
Yes. And stage time. Mm-hmm. And you know what helped me with that? The longer time I was able to put into my own act instead of the 8 minutes or the 15 that JFL wanted. I was never good at the 8 minute television set.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. People used to say to me, hey, you know, Mike McDonald had difficulty with the short sets too.
Yeah, he did.
And I remember watching Mike in those incendiary sets from the 1980s.
Yeah.
And just being, and I laud him in my book too. I mean, he gave me some notes when I was a greenhorn who just was in country, and he told me where to ford the river, and he was very kind.
Well, I was going to tell you, Ron, I first saw him, because I started off before you. I was at Punchlines in Vancouver, and it was 1980-81, and this guy from Toronto was coming in, and it was, I saw a guy do two things I'd never seen at that time, because we were all doing 8 and 12 minutes. He did an hour, and he got a I'd never seen anyone get a standing ovation. But I saw him do another hour. That was what really, you know, it's funny, that old thing about I wanted to be a boxer until I met a guy who really, you know, wanted to be a boxer. It was one of the reasons that I always kind of had my toe into radio, because I saw a guy do an hour on a Friday and another hour on the Saturday, and I was barely eking out 15 fucking minutes. Anyways, dude, I apologize. Wow. We have somebody else standing by, but what a sweet thing to talk to you as always.
Damn. Maybe I can come back.
Oh, no. As soon as we finish today, we're going to get Boone to rebook you, because there's so many things we want to talk about. Ron James.
I'd love to.
And the book. Thanks, of author is now author all over the map, Rambles and Ruminations from the Canadian Road. Is available tomorrow, and Ron is available, by the way, for all your corporate.
Yeah, just give him a heads up beforehand.
That's right.
Talk about.
Yeah, those are some pretty fun little bits. Hey, Ron, thanks very much, my friend.
Thanks, boys.
Ron.
Okay, thank you.
All right,
very much.
Take care. Now you go do your your rowing, young man.
I will, my friend.
All right, brother.
I'm 64, man.
Stay well.
Keep the Reaper at bay.
All right, brother. There he is.
Thank you very much.
All right, man. That's our Gig Sky guest of the day, by the way. What were you going to say there, brother?
We didn't even get to Norm MacDonald. I wonder how they crossed paths.
I was thinking that, too. Well, you know what? We're going to see Boone today. And like a lot of our guests recently that we've had some good conversations with, it would be good to have him back. We have another guest here standing by. Before we get to Stefan, just hang on a second. We got to talk a little bit about who's next.
Is the Chambers
the Chamber plan. Thank you.
Chambers of Commerce Group Insurance Plan is the official name. We'll go to chamberplan.ca to find out about Canada's number one group benefits plan for small business. It's Canada's leading group benefit plan for small business, say 1 to 50, 100 employees. Oh, yeah, I said it, one employee. It's amazing. Get a free quote today, chamberplan.ca. You can get a free quote. You can read all the testimonials on how it's worked for other companies. 30,000 Canadian businesses are part of this. They've been around for 40 years. Spend some time with it because you'll be amazed at what is offered. Different levels are offered. You buy in at the level you're comfortable with. Your employees, be it 1, 2, or 100, will love you for this because really it's the smart thing to do for them. It's very stable. Again, been around for 40 years and simple to sign up. Again, small companies think it's beyond their reach to be part of a group benefits plan. Well, think again. Go to chamberplan.ca today. Get a free quote. Find out all about it.
And in order to keep you healthy, and by the way, Steve is standing by, Steve and Dick. Just give me one more minute, Steve, and then we're going to talk Kelvara. That's what we're going to talk about. How you doing, by the way? You all right?
Fabulous. Happy Monday.
Yeah, it's exciting. Humble and Fred. Oh, yeah. I like to tell people that it's exciting, even if they don't think it is. We think it is. Hey, Freddie, is your watch on today? Are you wearing
charging?
Charging.
I had it on. Yeah. Closing my pool yesterday, I put 10,500 steps on.
Crazy. Are you kidding me?
No.
I only
back and forth in the garage, out of the garage, down the end, back.
Oh. I played this golf course yesterday. I only put 5,000 steps on. I was driving on a cart. Here's
well,
how we. I know. All right, so healthgage.com, that's what we're talking about. When it comes to keeping track of your health, many people are using these wearable devices, but this one's unique because it doesn't just keep track of your steps. It's everything from blood pressure to oxygen saturation, heart rate, temperature, activity level, of course, calories burned. But the great thing is, and I told you this the other day, I got a notification on my phone. I didn't even realize that I had synced it. To tell me when to drink water. It's all here at healthgage.com. You can get 15% off the Phoenix, which is what I'm wearing. Freddie's got it too. And by the way, the reason I asked you about yours is because you have the cool, you put a different strap on. A strap on your watch, not a strap on. Easy there, Stephen. Come on.
Easy
now.
There now.
Don't
come
get
on
now.
Come on now.
Jesus, man. Don't get nasty. Anyways, yours is kind of cool. This one's interesting. I like it because it's the black on black. You can get yours at healthgage.com. The promo code is HumbleFred15 for 15% off purchase. Lots of Humble and Fred people have already done it. And so we encourage you to do that as well. HealthGage.com. And now, welcome to our program. I just says Steve from Kelvara. Stephen, Dick, what is your position there, sir?
I'm the chief executive officer.
Ah, there we go. And where do we find you on this fine day today?
Well, I'm in the in Midtown Toronto, Avenue St. Clair area.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Just got rained on.
You've just launched, Kelvara is the name of the company, and you've just launched into the Canadian market. It says here, the premium cannabis-infused beverages, now available at OCS and selected retailers. But, Steve, I want to talk a little bit about it. I'm a very experienced cannabis user. I'm not sure if you were briefed on our, you know, on our journey through the cannabis world, but I have some of your beverages. I want to talk right away about how these beverages are different than edibles and what you guys have done at Kelvara to maybe help the people that are a little bit nervous about edibles in general and about THC-infused beverages.
Sure. Well, you hit the nail on the head. First of all, guys, thanks so much for having me. This is great. And we're really excited to be bringing the Calvara brand to the marketplace here in Ontario and in points west and east across Canada. But back to your point about the edible, I think for those who have experimented with edibles, probably the number one complaint is you eat that gummy or whatever format it might be in, and you wait and you wait and you wait and you wait. And then eventually, somewhere down the road, whether it's 45 minutes, an hour and a half, some even longer than that, it starts to kick in. I think everybody knows someone who didn't think it was working and had another one and was in the corner crying for mommy, right?
By the way, I want to pop in. Mm-hmm. It's what the word I wrote it down this morning is that edibles for me are, it's the unpredictability of them. And what you just described, we've all done that. Like, I don't think it's working. And then when it starts working, I have to go lay down for a couple of days.
Yeah, yeah. So we've tried to take the guesswork out of the edible, in this case, our Calvara, which is an infused beverage. And we've done that a couple of different ways. But primarily what we do is we take the THC distillate and we do something called nanoparticleization. And what that means is that we pulverize the molecules into tiny nanoparticles. And what that does is it allows for a rapid onset. So when you take a Calvara, and in this case, Calvara is a 10 milligram dose or shot, if you will, of infused THC, and you will begin to feel the effects of Calvara for some people as soon as 6 or 7 minutes, but really no longer than 14 or 15 minutes. And people really are reacting positively to that. The other thing about it as well is that here's a Calvara right here. This is just in a shot format. It's a little 3 ounce bottle. And what's great about it is, and I'm going to crack this. I'm not going to drink it. It's a little early. But if I get that up, you're just going to see this thing. This is just water in here right now. Mm-hmm. And all of the important ingredients are in the cap. It's pressurized. Okay. There's no oxygen in here. It's pressurized with nitrogen. Nitrogen is inert. And so it protects the sanctity of the THC. And no UV light can get in. So there's no chemicals, there's no preservatives. And when I twist this, it's going to blow the THC distillate into the water and immediately mix it.
Jesus.
Okay? Now, what that means is that it is consistent throughout. So as an example, some edibles may have a whole bunch of THC in one part of it, mm-hmm. or THC in the other part of it. So I'm just going to crack this for you here. There we go.
Oh, there you go. Mm.
Yeah, we've brewed ourselves a nice little Calvara. And the other thing that's neat about this is we now know that this is 10 milligrams in here. If I don't want 10 milligrams, I'll just have a little sip of it. This stuff tastes pretty good. For those who've used THC on a fairly frequent basis, 10 milligrams is the maximum allowable under Health Canada regulations. So maybe, you know, two or three for a fun evening. For those who are just experimenting, yep, go ahead. Oh,
no, I'm sorry. Finish your thought. And I got about 7 questions for you.
And I'm happy to answer them. But for those who are just, beginning, we recommend, try a quarter of it, try a third of it, just, a sip or two. And the other thing that's great about this is you can mix it with just about anything.
Right.
Whether it's soda water or whatever else you might choose to mix it with. So it's very versatile. You can control your dosing. It's consistent throughout, and you're going to begin feeling that reaction again between 7 and 15 minutes.
Which is sort of consistent with alcohol, right?
Yes.
Precisely.
Which, again, from that perspective, is very convenient based on what you guys said about waiting and waiting and maybe overdosing, if that's a term.
Well, no, it's interesting you use that word. I've never felt, we talk about greening out. I've never felt... Oh, like I've overdosed on gummies with the odd time when I drank, I did. But what I did feel is the unpredictability and the not really knowing. What I wanted to ask you is the first thing for people listening. So, like, I might want to have a little bit of a like I've been smoking a little bit of hash lately. I have, but I just take a little bit and I have a little bit and then I'm good.
Yeah.
So. At 10 milligrams, and I really haven't been doing a lot of gummies lately for the reasons I'm saying. So if I take half of a Calvara, like 5 milligrams of THC, Can you, or is it fair to ask you, that is the equivalent of half a joint? I know it's not fair because some THC is 80%, but it would be like taking a drag of maybe a puff of some THC.
Yeah, I would say you're almost into, you're that's pretty precise. Yeah.
And if I took the whole thing, it would be like taking a couple puffs. I'd have a bit more of a buzz on. And Correct. Thirdly, how long does it last?
So everybody has a bit of a different metabolism. One of the interesting things about Calvara and the difference between a Calvara and a gummy is that most traditional gummies will have to be processed by your liver. And that's why it takes so long, because you've got to digest and go through that processing. With the nanoparticleization of a Calvara, what happens there is it actually absorbs into the bloodstream and bypasses the liver. That's where you get the rapid onset from. The offset for most people, this is about a 2.5 hour, 2 to 3 hour sort of, up and it levels off. And then, it'll start to gently wane. I know lots of people who like Calvara who will get themselves up there and want to stay up there. So they'll take another one or another half or what have you. Mm-hmm. And, the other thing, I can't claim this to be science because the feedback we've had is that once people have had a fun evening, with Calvara and whatever else it is they're doing, they tend to sleep well, which is a nice little, side benefit.
Yeah, I bet.
It's not something that puts you to sleep, but once you've spent your energy.
My partner, lady friend, Rachel asked me last night, because we've got, you had delivered some, and we were talking about it, and she said, is it indica or sativa? I said, I don't know.
So, interestingly enough, with distillate, it really doesn't matter whether it's indica or sativa, because it's distilled down to THC. So, we're about 93% pure THC, which is a fairly difficult level of distillate potency to get to, but that's why it's a premium product.
Calvara, K-A-L-V-A-R-A, the name means?
It's a made-up name.
Okay.
Those are the best ones.
Yeah. The interesting thing is we have some partners down in the U.S. where we acquired the technology and this particular formulation from. And they've just done an absolutely phenomenal job. And Calvara has gone into a number of cannabis awards shows from MJ Biz, which some people might know is the largest cannabis trade show and conference in the world, where it won the Stewardship Award a couple of years back, just before COVID. It won the Cannabis Connoisseur Cup.
Very fancy there, Stephen.
Colorado. That's kind of like the Oscars of weed.
Oh, the Cannabis Cup, you say.
Yeah, so yes, a connoisseur.
Very nice.
Yeah, so it's proven itself down in the U.S. We brought it here, but we've got a bunch of other ones that are coming. Our favorite one in this format, our favorite new brand, which will be out shortly, is called Pot Shot. Imagine that.
Nice.
We thought that might be might do the trick to explain to people what it is.
Mm-hmm.
We have a wonderful, it's on the market now, a wonderful 25 milligram CBD elixir. So no buzz there, but some really good benefits for relaxing and anti-inflammatory. That's called Nuvive.
And that is available now?
That is available through the OCS now.
And what are you selling these for? What is one, like I've got the shot that you've given us. What does that cost?
Depending on the retailer, anywhere from about $7 to $8.50.
Yeah, so it's like buying. I don't even know. It's like a three. Yeah, it's like buying a. It's not even as much as a gram. So
no,
very good.
It's not a good gram anyway.
No, that's true.
And cheaper than a six pack.
Very much so. And you know what else is neat about this as well is that, if you're going out for the night, you can just tuck this in your pocket or for the ladies in a purse or a bag or whatever. It's discreet, unlike smoking, it doesn't smell. You can just drink it like this or again, make something else out of it.
I was talking to Rachel about this. There was a couple of years ago, we had a sponsor. It doesn't matter who it was, but they were in the non-alcoholic beverage space, even though I hate saying space. And they were going to develop, or this is pre-COVID, they were talking about it, maybe they have, something like this where you could drink it with people because I don't drink. I could drink it while Fred was having a glass of wine and start to feel sort of the similar, as he started to get a little bit of a wine glow, I would then start, and now you've gone and done it. And I feel that, like, this is going to be good for people like me who don't drink, that want to hang out with drinkers, because the problem with being around drinkers is they elevate and you don't.
Yeah, correct.
So this is kind of a nice sort of compromise to that, especially... You know,
I was just, sorry to interrupt. I was just gonna say, if you take a Calvara and you know, pour it into a glass with rocks, so add a little soda, a little squeeze of lemon or lime, you've got your cocktail right there. And to your point, you're gonna, you know, you're not gonna get left behind if you're not a drinker.
Well, that's great, man. We want everyone to go try it. Calvara, Calvara. This is a good place for you, Steve. You should be on here. Humble and Fred Show.
We'd love to come back. I'll tell you what, you guys don't know this, but we've had a relationship for about 25 to 30 years.
How so?
You guys have done all the talking and I've done all the listening. So,
This is our favorite thing. This is where you go into a lot of detail about what we've meant to you and how you've enjoyed our program. Go. Just go.
Well, I'll tell you what, I owe it to my wife, who's cool and I'm not. And she had a tremendous career in music. And one day we're in the car and I'm listening to, probably a friend of yours named Derringer on the Mighty. And she's like, you got the wrong station on. Put this one on. I'm not going to pump your old station. But before it changed over. And then I think you guys went to another station. But every morning we would listen to you guys. And plus you played better tunes.
Oh, yes, we did.
Slightly.
Yeah. Yeah, slightly. Right. This was her whole point,
well,
right?
Like she's smarter than you, Steve, it seems.
She's happy to let me know that just about every day, guys.
Well, your family made a wonderful decision. No, but listen, man, you know, we've been having, I call them cannabis conversations for many years now. And when I was looking into your product prior to this interview, I'm like, this is what we've been waiting for, at least I have, because... You know, I know upstairs I've got a bunch of gummies that I'll be honest with you, I'm just a little bit nervous about, which is weird because I smoke weed every day. Not a lot of it, but I have it in my system every day. But edibles for a lot of people like me are a little bit nervous. And as you say, it's the unpredictability. Calvara has come along and made it, as you say, easier, cleaner, and more consistent. And, you know, I really hope this isn't the last time we have a chance to hang out.
Well, I hope so, too. And guys, I want to thank you very much for having us on. And like I said, we've got more products coming and we're really excited about them. And so far with the formulations that have been created, it's two thumbs up. So get yourself a Calvara. The other thing that's great about this is you can do it kind of like a shot, so you can have a social thing going.
Oh, yeah.
You know, whether it's around the dinner table.
That's
or
right.
Right on.
That's right.
That's a pot shot, element to it.
Look for Calvara at the OCS or different retailers around the city. And we'll be in touch. Take care, Steve.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks, Steve.
Our pleasure.
Very much.
That's one of our favorite type of guests where he goes out at the end, tells us how much we mean to him. I love those. Take care, my friend.
How good is this song?
Oh, I love this song. You know, this is unprecedented. Rachel is in the studio. There she
really?
Is.
Really?
Yeah. First stayed over on a school night and came back from St. Thomas. She's come by here a couple times, getting a coffee, rolling her eyes at me. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. Thanks to Ron James. That was great. We'll have him back soon because we missed about 10 minutes of that. And it's too bad we didn't ask him about Norm. Paul Romanuk is tomorrow. Noel Kassler making his monthly appearance. He'll have all kinds of Trump stuff. I guess Trump had a rally on the weekend.
Oh, did he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was watching highlights this morning on CNN. And Billy Newton Davis, is coming back on Thursday. That's this week's show. And we're just a couple weeks away from the 10th anniversary on the 14th. And I'm going to talk to you today when we're having our little meetings about when we should do that Patreon maybe a sneak peek pre-anniversary get-together. All of this happening in the next couple of weeks. And little Philly, who is not with us on Mondays anymore, he will be with us, I guess, tomorrow.
Yes, I, you know, last week was fascinating, if that's the word. Some tension in the home with Pearl, who's increasingly impatient with their lifestyle. She wants to do more things.
Yeah.
He says they spend too much time in the home, of, according to Phil.
Oh, what's that, Rachel? You're just hearing about this for the first time?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's some tension at the Hong home.
Yes, she feels, I think, I'm getting the impression she feels like a bit of a prisoner.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. Is that what you say? All right.
I'm just thinking of things we can say to Phil so we can deny them flatly.
Yeah. Tomorrow I'll tell you about taking, I'm not taking Rachel, but going back to Costco. My first visit back, I'm going to take Rachel in the next couple of weeks. But I hadn't been there in years, and of course now I have a lifetime supply of Lysol toilet bowl cleaner. I don't know. I'm actually giving it to Rachel. Here, take some of this. All right, everyone. Hope you enjoy the rest of your day. And now you do the goodbye part.
Well, this episode of Humble and Fred Radio. Are we still calling it that? No. This Humble and Fred show.
Wait a second. You don't know what we're calling the show? Have you not?
I just said the word radio, and I thought I shouldn't say that anymore. We've moved on.
And we don't do radio.
No. Humble and Fred, fiercely independent. Sounds much cooler.
Yeah, man.
Brought to you by Doer, the Chamber Plan, bodog.eu/sports, the Retirement Sherpa, and Gigs Guy, Ron James, the Gigs Guy guest of the day today.
Oh, and by the way, a special Sherpa episode. Sherpa episode that we, because we forgot his thing last week. All right, everyone, see you tomorrow. Pulling out jobs and jamboree handouts, two turntables and a microphone. Bottles and cans, just clap your hands, or just clap your hands. Where's that?